Okay, lesson number 10. We've got 25 minutes. We'll get started in on this. We'll find it follows the same format as the previous lessons. So we're going to learn hemes, humes, and hos. So hemes and humes, this is the personal pronoun. So a pronoun, remember, stands in for a noun. And hemes is first person plural. We, humes, second person plural. You, and they have exactly the same form except for the opening letter there. Eta for first plural and upsilon for second plural, both with a rough breathing on them. And then hos is the relative pronoun. So it too is a pronoun standing in for noun. Now, hemes and humes we call personal pronouns. They're referring to persons. Hos is a relative pronoun. It is relative to something that has gone before. So which or that or who. And when we have that, you'll always have to look back and see what it refers, what it attaches back to. Okay, section one, we have the nominative case. Hemes and humes. Hemes, humes is we. And you, and the you here, these are all going to be plural. Okay? So the ending is ace. We have legomen hemes kai humes akuete. Legomen hemes kai humes akuete. We speak and you hear. Now we could just have said that with legomen kai akuete, and you would have understood that as we speak and you hear. But by adding in the hemes and the humes, it makes it emphatic. We speak and you hear. And that's often how this personal pronoun will often get used that way for emphasis. And then there are other times when it needs to be used. Okay, example one. Tus logus graphomen hemes kai humes anagnoskate autus. Tus logus graphomen hemes, kai humes anagnoskate autus. We are writing the words, and you are reading them. So the hemes there makes it emphatic. We are the ones doing the writing, and then humes emphatic for, and you are the ones reading them. Number two, legate humes kai hemes. Akuamen. Legate humes kai hemes akuamen. You are speaking and we are listening. Mm-hmm. And then another example to indicate how this the pronoun is used for emphasis and to draw contrast. Hemes legomen kai hapaulos akue. Hemes legomen. Kai ha paulos akue. So we are speaking and Paul is listening. Ta biblion anagnoskamen hemes ala humes uk akuete. Ta biblion anagnoskamen hemes ala humes uk akuete. We are reading the book, but you are not listening. So hemes, humes. So that's the nominative for the personal pronoun, first and second person, plural. Section two is the accusative, hemas and humas, hemas, humas. So as is the object ending there. This is for the direct object, accusative case. So apostele, hemas, ha theos, ala humes u lambanate hemas. Apostele hemas ha theos ala humes u lambanate hemas. So God sends us, hemas there in the accusative, because that's the direct object. Ala humes, but you, u lambanate, you do not receive us. So the humes there is used for emphasis. You could dispense with it because ou lambanete would say what needs to be said, but pumes adds emphasis. So translate, we have ha theos estin ha apostelon himas. Ha theos estin ha apostelon himas. God is the one. God is ha theos estin ha apostelon. We have that participle, so the one who sends, with the article, the one who sends us. So God is the one who is sending us. Ton markon genoskamen ala humas ou genoskamen. Ton markon genoskamen ala humas ou genoskamen. We know Mark, so ton markon in the accusative, that's the object of the knowing, but you, we do not know. Humas there, the direct object of ou genoskamen. And in that case, both objects are put before the verbs, which is, we could really, to capture that in English, we could really translate it as Mark, we know, but you, we don't know. Catch that emphasis of the word order. Number three, ha markos graphe ta biblion kai humes anagnoskete auta. Ha markos graphe ta biblion kai humes anagnoskete auta. Mark writes the book, and you read it. Auta there, the neuter of the neuter pronoun referring to ta biblion. And number four, heuriske hemas ha paulos ala humas uk heuriske. Heuriske hemas ha paulos ala humas uk heuriske. Paul finds us, the hemas, but you he does not find. So that's himas and humas in the accusative case for the direct object. Section three. Now we have the genitive. Himon and humon. Himon, humon. Himon, humon. The on ending. All the genitives we've looked at so far for the plural all end in on. So we have akuantes tus logus humon. Pistuomen autois. Akuantes tus logus humon. Pistuomen autois. Hearing your words, so tus logus humon, the words of you. Hearing your words, pistuomen autois, we believe then. Okay. Now some seven examples. Akuusi tus logus hemon. Akuusi tus logus hemon. They hear our words. Akue tus logus humon. Akue tus logus humon. He hears your words. Hemes akuamen tus logus auton. Hemes akuamen tus logus auton. We hear their words. Now there hemes is strictly speaking not necessary. You could just say akuamen tus logus auton and it would mean the same. But by putting the hemes there makes it emphatic, and the context would tell you why it's emphatic, and you'd want to try and wrestle with why is the author putting that pronoun in there for emphasis. Number four, autos genosce tus dialogismus ton cardion humon. Autos genosce tus dialogismus ton cardion humon. So autos genosce, he knows, and again the autos there, it's there for emphasis. You could dispense with it and it would mean the same thing, but the author has put it in there, would have put it in there for a reason, for emphasis. He knows the thoughts of your hearts. We would say your minds. Number five, haute estin he epistole hemon. Haute estin he epistole hemon. This is our letter. Number six, ha theos estin methumon. Ha theos estin methumon. Meth there is meta, which means with, but this is what happens to it in front of a rough, a vowel with a rough breathing. Meth. God is with you. Ha prophetes methemon estin. Ha prophetes methemon estin. The prophet is with us. So that's hemon and humon, the genitive for the personal pronoun, first and second persons, plural. And number four, we have then the dative case. Himen and humen, himen, humen. So for or to us and for or to you. So we have lego humen. Lego humen, I speak to you or I say to you. Poie himen basileian. Poie himen basileian. Poie basileian, he makes a kingdom. Himen, for us. Then note also we have akuantes tus logus himon, pistuete himen. Akuantes tus logus himon, pistuete himen. Hearing our words, you believe in us, or you trust us. So there we have himon and himen. Then use in sentences. Number one, graphe he Maria tus logus himen. Graphe he Maria tus logus himen. Mary writes the words himen to us or for us. Lege humen ha prophetes kai humes legete himen. Lege humen ha prophetes kai humes legete himen. The prophet speaks to you and you speak to us. So there we've got three pronouns in there. Humen, humes, and himen. So humen and himen, dative, and humes is nominative. That's the subject. Ha tutus tus logus legon himen u lege ten aletheon. Ha tutus tus logus legon himen u lege ten aletheon. So ha legon is the subject there, the person who is saying. Tutus tus logus, these words. So see there again, as often happens, that in this case the object is put between the article and the in this case the participle of the subject. The person who is saying these words, himen to us, ou legetein aletheon, is not speaking the truth. Number four, he aletheia en humen estin alauch estin en himen. He aletheia en humen estin alauch estin en himen. The truth is in you, but it is not in us. So en humen en himen. And number five, hoi lambanontes tus logus humon en tais cardiais auton heuriscusen ten basileian tu theou.
hoi lambanontes tus logus humon, en tais cardiais auton huriscusen ten basileian tu theu. Hoi lambanontes, the ones who receive, they receive what? Tus logus humon, your words, en tais cardiais, in their hearts. Auton huriscusen, they will find, they find the kingdom of God. Okay, so that's the personal pronoun in those four cases, nominative, accusative, genitive, dative. Hemes, humas, hemes, hemas, hemon, hemen. Hemes, humas, humon, humen. Right.
Question about the hemes. Can that include the person that you're speaking to? We.
Oh, when it's we, it can. It doesn't have to. It's like in English, and it then is ambiguous as to whether it includes the person you're speaking to. Whereas some other languages actually will have two different pronouns for that. Indonesian is like that. So you use one pronoun for if the we includes the person you're talking to, and a different pronoun if the we does not include the person you're talking to, which actually is really convenient. It's it's a nice distinction to have. I don't know if anybody else knows a language that does the same as that. It's,
I think I've heard of one.
Yeah, so Indonesian's the only one I've come across. It differentiates. It has different pronouns for whether the we includes the person that we are talking to. So if I'm talking to you and saying about we're doing something, okay. You don't know whether the we is including you.
Oh.
But in Indonesian... So if I say we're going for lunch today, you don't know whether that invitation, whether that includes you. You're left wondering. But in Indonesian, it would be unambiguous because I would use a different pronoun there for we, depending if it was, if you were included or excluded from that.
Okay.
We. It's
the Southerners would just say we all.
Yeah. Well, but even there, we all, does that include the person you're talking to?
Yeah.
That's actually.
But Greek does?
No, Greek doesn't. But. So this is Matt's question, does it or doesn't it? It doesn't. Indonesian's the only language I know that does differentiate. And it's a nice feature to have in a language. Okay, section 5. We'll draw near a close here. Section 5 is the relative pronoun. And in masculine, it's hos. Who or which. In feminine is he, and the neuter is ha. Hus, he, ha. Hus, he, ha. Each with a rough breathing there. So, hus eke ota akue hemas. Hus eke ota akue hemas. So, hus eke ota. He who has ears, we might say whoever has ears, he who has ears, akue hemas, hears us. So the hos there is relative, referring to the eke ota. He eke ota akue humas. He eke ota akue humas. She who has ears. Here's you. And ha ein ap aches apangelomen humin. Ha ein ap aches apangelomen humin. Ha ein, that which was, then ap aches from the beginning. Ap would be apo, means from.
but here in front of a vowel, beginning the next sentence, it's been abbreviated to up. Apangelomen humen, we announce to you. So whatever was from the beginning, we announce to you. And halagos hon leges, halagos hon leges, the word which you say. Now, hon there is the accusative of hos. So what it's doing is it's turning the halagos, which starts out as being the subject there, and that now it's turning it into the object which you say. He epistole hein anagnoskousi. He epistole hein anagnoskousi. The letter which they read. So he epistole there starts out as being the subject, and then hein, relative pronoun, in the accusative, then turns it into the object for anagnoskousi. And ta biblion ha graphe. Ta biblion ha graphe. The book which he writes. These relative pronouns occur fairly often in English, and they occur plenty throughout the Greek New Testament. Okay, some examples here of their use in sentences. Number one, houtos estin halagos hon lege. Houtos estin halagos hon lege. Houtos estin halagos, this is the word, hon, in the accusative there, which now turns it into the object for lege, which he speaks. Haute estin he epistole hein graphousin. Aute estin he epistole hein graphousin. Aute estin he epistole, this is the letter. And then now hein there, feminine accusative, turns that into the object for graphousin, for the verb. This is the letter which they are writing. Number three, tuta estin ta biblion en ho ha prophetes graphe himin tus logus tu theu kai humes anagnoskete auta. Tuta estin ta biblion en ho ha prophetes graphe himin tus logus tu theu kai humes anagnoskete auta. Tuta estin ta biblion, this is the book, en ho, in which. Ho there being the dative singular of this, of the relative pronoun, in which ha prophetes graphe himin, which the prophet writes for us, or to us, the words of God, and you are reading it. And then four, ha ein aparkes apangelete himin. Ha ein aparkes apangelete hemin. Ha en aparkes, that which was from the beginning, apangelete hemin, you announce to us. Okay, that's the relative pronoun. And as we see its use, you'll get comfortable with that. And then comment here on accent, section 6, and then we'll end with this. So the New Testament was originally written entirely in capital letters, what we call majuscules, and there were no marks to indicate a high tone or a tone that is not raised or rising and falling tone. The system of marks called accents is found in manuscripts from the 9th century onwards. And you'll find them used in printed texts of the New Testament. So you have, there's an acute accent, a grave accent, and a circumflex. So the acute accent indicates this high tone, the grave accent, a tone that is not raised, and then a rising and falling is the circumflex. That's what those three successive accent marks are. So acute, the acute accent that indicates so a high tone. Then there's a what we would call the grave accent. And,
I'm confused. What, so this court says that you don't need to know the accents to
right.
understand the text. Yet now what he's telling us that these words are different.
There are a few words for which you do need to know the accent. Well, there are a few words that are distinguished by their accents.
Okay.
Now, ideally, yes, you would know the accents and be able to distinguish these.
But in the original text, though, they didn't have accents.
So you would use context.
Okay.
Context would be what would tell you. So here are a list of, and it's a small list of words where actually the accent does make a difference help to distinguish or does distinguish a word. Mm-hmm. So hey is the feminine nominative, feminine singular of the article, the. Hey with an acute accent is the feminine singular nominative of the relative pronoun. Who, which. Or who, is the feminine singular of the relative pronoun. Ha is the masculine singular nominative of the article, and ha with the accent mark, that is the relative pronoun. A is if, A with a circumflex is you are, second person singular of the verb to be. Tis will mean someone, tis with an accent means who. An interrogative pronoun. Ti is something. Ti with the accent is what or why. And then meno with an acute accent is the verb I remain, I stay. And meno with a circumflex over the omega is the plural I will remain. And that's about all.
How do you say it differently? I started
telling. Meno, I've got a high tone on the first syllable, meno, and the second would be meno. Meno. Okay. Now, and then he adds, you can complete this course and read the New Testament without knowing anything more about accents. And in fact, this is the third edition, and you'll notice on the front cover of the book it said, third edition with accents. The first two editions of this book, he didn't have accents in at all, which, you know, Dobson, I'm sure, thought carefully about that and decided most people, you don't need accents, and he just left them out completely. And there was a lot of criticism from various people who thought, no, you've got to learn the accents. Generally, you'll do just fine without needing to worry too much about the accents. But it does indicate which syllable to stress. And it does help with pronunciation. And in these rare cases, it helps with distinguishing a word. But usually you're also going to be able to do that by context. So, maybe it'd be helpful for you if you learn that hey and ha, if they don't have an accent on it, it's a definite article. Hey and ha with the accent is the relative pronoun. Tis and ti. Without the accent is someone and something. It's an indefinite pronoun, and then tis and ti with the accent is the interrogative pronoun. But people get stressed over trying to figure out where you put the accent. If you really wanted to get into that, he gives the rules at the back of the book, pages 349 and 350, or at least he gives a very brief summary of the rules. And then if you really want to know, there is a book over there all about Greek accents that you could go by. Or you can leave it alone and just say you'll do just fine without without the accents. Okay? So don't get stressed out about accents. Notice they're there. We're reading the third edition of the book, so we have accents in this. But. Okay? So we'll close there and pick up at section 7 next week. And the vocabulary then
translation exercises, and then move on into lesson 11.